Germans at the hardware store, man.
Did you fight somebody?
No. It was a, well, I almost did. I was going to fight the lady working there. Tell me.
This story's getting old. You fighting somebody at a store.
Who's the you? Well, you tell me who's wrong here. You be the judge on this one. Judge
you. It's you.
Never me. Never me. So I buy a couple things, but one of the things I buy is four screws. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or little bolts, actually bolts. But I believe they're 23 cents a piece. I buy four of them, and they're loose.
Is this a math problem?
You don't get them in a package. You just get them. They're just loose, and then you got to go and get like you put them in a little plastic bag.
92 cents.
You get a printout. You get a printout on the machine, and then you put on the bag, and then they scan that, and you give them the 92 cents.
Right. Right.
Well, that's not good for the umwelt, buddy. That's not good for the world. The ecology, the whatever.
The environment. Yeah, it's called the environment.
It's umwelt.
Okay.
So, because I had to fight her in German today. And so, anyway, so that's not good for us. So I don't need a plastic bag for that. So I'm going to do my part. I'm just going to put those four screws into my jacket pocket.
Ooh.
Get the printout. I'm buying other things too. So I get the printout and I get a little piece of plywood and I put, so I, that has a tag on it. And then I put the tag on the plywood and she clicks on, goes to click and clicks on it. And I point to that thing. Oh, get that too. And she looks at me all confused, like just rattled. Like, what do you mean? I said, well, I got four screws too. Where are they? Well, they're in my pocket. You gotta show me. Like, okay, what? Why?
No, I mean, you gotta see. Maybe, who knows what's in your pocket?
Yeah, but I probably wouldn't put a sticker out if, like, I got a can of paint in there. That's what I have. Yeah, I got a bunch of baseboards I got stuffed in there.
Can I make my ruling now?
No, not quite. So I was like, okay, fine. So I take it out and I show her. I take one out of my pocket and show her. Yeah, these are the ones I have. Well, I need to see all of them. It's like, okay. So I pull four out. I mean, I could have had 900 in the pocket and just show her four. She doesn't know.
Right.
But she has to see all of them. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, now what's your ruling?
I rule for her.
Of course you do. What's her name? What's her name? If you get it right, I can totally side with you.
Lena.
Brunhilde. It was Brunhilde. That was her name. I don't know what her name is. I didn't look at her name. I'm just saying, just trust me. Why would I steal 92 cents from you? She said, well, you have to get a plastic bag. And that's what I said. Ein Tasche.
I roll for her.
Die Umwelt. So it was a big, no, you don't rule for her. You're insane. Next. Hello and welcome to episode 532 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
VBCCA.
Mm-hmm.
No one's calling it that.
Somebody's calling it that.
No one's calling it that. Didn't happen. The five, has that caught on? That really, I think that's the biggest honest to God victim of the pandemic is the five never caught on. Not counting the dead people. I mean,
yeah. Maybe it did catch on, and we're not aware because we're in our houses too much.
We're in our bubble.
Yeah.
The fiver. We'll see.
Bring back the five. You know what? Shirts. Bring back the five.
Yeah. Bounce back five. Bounce back. I don't know. Give me five. That's what's got to be something. That's a shirt, right? Big hand on it. Give me five.
Yeah, I don't think it would be associated with Vancouver or us.
Do you think it'd be like a Jimmy Walker thing?
Yeah.
All right. We should workshop less of this stuff live on the air.
Yeah, that's probably a good plan.
A lot of it should happen offline. So There's that. Amazon, probably still going this week. Amazon.
Ever since like Amazon has kind of like shunned us, I haven't bought anything on Amazon. I don't think it's related, but maybe subconsciously it is.
I try not to. I tried to buy a power switch today at the hardware store, but they don't have it. Like this is, it's a specialty item. And so I tried very hard to avoid Amazon. I don't think I'm going to be able to on this one. And I also had to buy something else because I bought something this week on Amazon.
Psst, what?
Don't tell Jeff Bezos. I bought rollerblades.
Cool. You're going to rollerblade?
Yeah. Huh?
You're going to rollerblade?
No, I'm going to throw them at people.
They're for your kids?
No, they have rollerblades, inlines they call them. They don't even know why they're called inlines. I was like, well, they're all in a straight line. That's why. But my kids love the rollerblading, and my wife has a pair. And I had brought mine from Canada years ago, but evidently they're just too old now. And so I think I could have gotten away with buying new wheels, except did you know that wheels are very expensive?
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
And to the point that for me
bearings
to buy—
bearings are expensive too.
I bought those a while ago. Now I feel like a jerk buying them. I thought that was the problem, but I think it was a combination of the wheels were deteriorating. That should be an easier word to say. So I bought the bearings, and then that didn't do the trick, so I needed new wheels as well because they're just falling apart. So I went to buy new wheels, and they are about $5 cheaper than just buying new rollerblades with wheels.
Wow. They don't want you to buy wheels, apparently.
Evidently not. And so so I was like, all right, well, I'll get the hockey version, like the hockey skates, because everyone has like the well, I say that,
the
but
fitness
like
fitness ones.
Yeah, they all have the ones like, yeah, it's got like the ski boot straps on them, right?
Call those the fitness ones, yeah.
Is that what they're called?
That's what I would refer to them as, yeah.
Yeah, I call them the I'm not going to wear those.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a pair of hockey ones that are a little bit more expensive than the wheels. So I got those, and then of course they showed up, and it just absolutely hammered rain since then. So I haven't really been out with the kids yet.
Great story. Can't wait to see you flying down the streets of Germany, just Mach 5. Just
we'll see
right into the side of someone's parked car because you turned your head and looked at something like a pretty bird.
Oh, and I go full Craig McTavish too. There's no lid. There's no bucket on me, man. My kids are like, "Did you wear a helmet, Dad?" I was like, "Come on."
Catch a rock, do a 360, and then face plant on the Buick. Are there Buicks in Germany?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So on the Mercedes.
I'll probably hit the Porsche. Mercedes and Porsche are both Stuttgart companies. But my son's like, yeah, Dad, like, you don't have, like, are you going to get wrist guards? No, I'm not. I'm not getting wrist guards. Like, and you're wearing yours till you're 8, and then you're done, okay? Just don't fall. Stop falling.
Yeah.
That's how it's
stop falling. That's a good plan. Yeah. Knees get kind of scraped up for kids too.
Yeah.
I usually, you know, I would recommend hockey gloves. That's what I would recommend.
I have him. He will not wear them. He's like, oh, no, because the other kids don't have them.
Oh, gotcha. Then he can be cool.
This is what I said. And he's grown out of his helmet. So I like his hockey helmet. Like I actually have to. Again, don't tell Hockey Canada I'm going to do this, but I'm going to have to take the padding out and then take a bread knife and cut it in half. So he has the Sergio Mimesso helmet.
Nice.
Google that.
It's not going to be CSA approved.
That's what I'm saying. Don't tell the CSA people. The stickers got to come off. But if you Google Sergio Mimesso, you'll see that is what I used to do with my helmets when I played. Like when I got older and played men's league, I would take the bread knife and cut it in half and glue it back in. So it was just like a little thin little helmet. We were cool back then.
Don't try this at home, people.
Do try it at home. But my point is, so that until I do that, I gave him my Jofa to wear. I have my Gretzky Jofa. That's my only hockey helmet now.
Yeah.
And so I gave him that to wear for now. Nice. I just kind of hope he doesn't scratch it up. That's what I...
Yeah, and he's got that nice, big, blonde kind of hockey locks. Yeah, maybe he's going to look like Gretzky.
More like McSorley, I would think.
Okay.
Not and no, I guess Gretzky had the long flow.
He did in the mid 80s. He had the big. He invented the hockey flow.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That'll be a picture next week. Maybe we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see him and the Joff. So there's that. Yeah, no update on the Patreon. Should be up by Monday, I hope, when you're hearing this.
Okay, I forgot, so.
I disappeared. Like, I got the hardware stores opened up again this week, and so I kind of disappeared into the wood shop.
Yeah, somebody dropped off, like, one of those old school, kind of like you see in I don't know, 1930s movies, like, just giant bag of money with a dollar sign on my porch the other day. And I just thought that had something to do with Patreon, so I thought it was up and running.
Okay.
I didn't give you your cut.
Yeah, that's fine. Tax for tax reasons, just hang on to that. We'll deal with that in the AM. But it's funny, you had me for a second. You're like, somebody dropped off. And I was like, oh, did somebody drop off some tools or some wood at Adam's house? Like, because the other day, like, I was walking. It's funny you say that, because I was walking. My wife and I were walking by around our neighborhood there. And somebody had, like, when you want to throw some stuff out here, like, you can basically make an appointment for someone to come do, like special garbage pickup, right?
Sure, yeah.
And so this lady was throwing out an old bed, like an old giant double bed, and like a big wooden thing. And I was like, oh, I didn't want the bed. It's kind of ugly, but there's a whole bunch of wood. Like, all the slats are, like, actually very expensive wood, and there's a whole bunch of them. So I went and rang the doorbell, and it's like, can we have that? And she, yeah, take it. Take whatever you want. So I left I left the headboard, but I took the rest of the bed just to make crates or something like that. And I was like, wow, that's full dad. I'm more excited about that than any Christmas present I've got in the last 10 years. So there's that.
Great. Good job.
Yeah. So in that vein, I put a picture in the Dropbox there. I made a couple of planters for the patio.
Nice.
Are you seeing those?
Yeah, they look like big boxes.
Right. That's basically what they are. They keep the
big boxes of wood.
Yeah. Except for all right, whatever. I was intending on just throwing together a couple things, and then they ended up getting way fancier than I thought. Like,
okay.
Like with the framing and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, they look fancy. Good job, man.
I'm very, very proud of them. So we're gonna plant some tomatoes in there. So I'll let you know how the tomatoes go.
Okay. All right.
That's the woodwork update. I got a whole bunch of work coming up ahead, but that was me. I'm back. I'm back in it now that the stores are open.
Nice.
I saw on Instagram one of our listeners, Dawn from Toronto. Not Dawn who's on the show later. Dawn posted something. He's having a terrible time right now.
Okay.
Was in the hospital and I'm not even saying like, I think terrible is an understatement from what I can understand.
He's not doing well physically.
He seems to be on the mend according to what he said, which is nice to hear because it looks like, honestly, I you'll have to go and look yourself at the post. It sounds terrible. Like he's been in the hospital for 3 weeks and is in rehab now. And I don't know. Maybe Don, maybe you're listening to podcasts during the rehab. And if you are, we're sending you positive thoughts.
He's not listening to this one.
No, I meant if he's listening to good ones.
Yeah, that's what I would be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what? What's a good one?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you would know.
I'm trying to think of what's a good one.
Can you refer Don some positive energy and possibly a good podcast?
I don't have any positive. There's no positive podcasts. One, I think. But yeah. All kidding aside, I saw a few comments on his post from folks that are listeners of the show. So like names I recognize from the show, which I find nice and a lot of positivity coming from there. So. Don, everybody's pulling for you, even yep. Adam.
And Frank. Frank sends his vibes. You know what?
I think Frank commented, man.
Oh my gosh. So I just knew it. I knew it in my heart.
Yeah.
I wish there was a Frank Pang podcast that we could send to Don. Frank, get on it. We need a Frank Pang podcast.
Adam, like you don't understand. Like, okay, we'll talk off the air, but you're going to interview Frank Pang.
No, he's going to interview us on his new podcast. We'll be episode number one, Pangers Pod.
Pangers Pod, that's not bad.
We can workshop it a little bit.
I was going with some sort of like an FP, but FP, FP Pod, FP, I'm not sure, but Panger. Panger Pod. Yeah, I'd listen to that. Okay. Anyway, Don, do better. Feel better. Where everybody's pulling for you, man.
Yep.
Soccer. That started up again.
Soccer? You mean like kids' sports?
Yeah, my son. That finally, the science allowed for that this week, and so they're back outside. They're back outside, and I got the messages like, "Oh yeah, but the guy who normally helps the coach, like one of the kids on the team, his dad is everyone in Germany soccer player, I think, but obviously not me. I know what I know about soccer. You could fit into a curling rink.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Yeah. You could fit it into a Bonspiel. No, you're right. I guess I didn't mean that, but it doesn't fit in there because it doesn't.
Could you fit it into a finely made planter?
I guess what I know about jokes, you could fit into under the head of a pin based on that. Right.
Based on audience reaction.
I don't know anything about soccer, and that's more of a point of pride for me than anything else. But
I know the offsides are confusing.
Yeah, they're stupid, actually. Yeah. I know that people get red cards, and I know that every 4 years when the World Cup is on, I'm a fan when that's on. That's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
When you're here, when you're over here for it, it's a pretty good time. But regardless, that's not what I'm getting at. So the dad who coaches the kids, he asked me last year, he's like, yeah, I want you to come help me coach. Like, 0% chance. I'm not doing that.
Right.
Like one, I don't know anything. I mean, you need a guy to go pick up the cones. I guess I'm your guy, but I'm still not your guy. I'm not doing it. I coach baseball a couple, you know, I do other things. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I need to be the guy who coaches the kids at every single thing.
No, I don't feel that way at all.
While their dads are like, oh, I'm too busy making tons of money flying in my private jet. You know, like, yeah, I'm busy being rich over here.
Yeah, so, that's me. That's my problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't know where to spend all my hundreds. Like, a lot of people who play with us don't take it anymore, you know? So that's exactly the problem. And so I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll coach baseball. I'm not going to help. Even if I wanted to help, which I don't, I can't. I don't know. I can do nothing, right? So anyways, I ended up having to help this week because the guy who normally, he found some guy, he couldn't make it this week, first day back. And so I had to go help. I was like, oh, that's great. Pouring rain, absolute hammering rain. So it's already terrible, right?
Yeah.
20 kids. There's 20 kids out there, which is pretty great. But I think 20 is the cutoff. You're allowed 20 because of the rules. Like 21, forget it. Like everyone will be dead.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Sure. Right.
It's like, all right, you're 21. What were you thinking? You know? Why don't y'all just take up smoking instead? So anyways, we had 20 kids, an absolute hammering rain. They play for an hour, and it's like all it has to be socially distanced, so they play two-on-two games or something stupid like that. Like, no point. And then after, in the rain, there's the coach handing out the hand sanitizer. There you go.
Yeah, I think it's part of
not just, him.
It's just protocols, man. You can't blame him.
No, I'm absolutely not pointing my finger at the coach. He was just like, yeah, this is dumb. But like, I was like, yeah, what do you think? What's going on here? What are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. Coming to a crash. Baseball next week. That's what's going to happen.
All right.
Baseball starts next week with my team, my son's team, a whole bunch of teams will get out. The funny thing is there like under 13, I think you're allowed 20 kids. Over from like 13 to 16, you're allowed 15, and then over that, you're allowed 10 people or something like that. But some of the teams have, you know, kids who straddle those ages. It's like, oh, some are 15, some are 16, so 12 and a half kids? What do we do?
Yeah. They think nobody's going to Well, who knows? It's Germany. Maybe people are going to go around counting the number of kids at the field. I don't know. I think people should act accordingly.
You'd think. They'll probably ID the kids and count them. That's what they'll be, end up doing.
Yeah.
How old are you? Wait a second. What's going on? But school starts again on Monday. So we're going back to pretty much normal school, finally. First time since Christmas.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we're excited by that. And then our town, I don't know if it's going to make it in the international news, but our the mayor of Tübingen, guy who I happen to like and gets a lot of crap from people, but I happen to like the guy. He wants to start a program where basically, I think to enter the old town, you have to get one of these quick tests, which is like 10 minutes. And once you do, you can go in and like where they're going to have all the shops open. That's the plan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of a pilot program. Like he's basically doing it to like say to the rest of Germany, hey, we can do something like this. This is possible. But meanwhile, vaccines are rolling out too. My wife's going in tomorrow. And yeah, so
good. All good.
Looking
things.
Better. Yeah, and you as well. From what I hear, or are we not talking about that?
Yeah, no, it does. It's fine. It's this. That's the way it is in Canada. I'll be able to get the first round of the vaccine next week we're into medical private practice professionals. And I think administrative staff are able to now book appointments. So it's happening here as well, which is a good sign. You're on your side, Lena being, you know, in schools is getting done. We're not there yet. Lisa is not able to get hers yet. So I don't know. They're rolling in seniors and they're trying to do medical people because of, I guess, the contact with seniors. But I hope schools and teachers, because we realize how important the schools staying functional is to everything in our lives, in our economy. And so I hope.
Do we realize it though? I mean, I know you and I do.
I hope that that teachers are going to be up pretty quick here. So,
but I'm hearing my people. People basically saying that they like the at home, not the parents, but I've heard some teachers kind of say it's pretty good. I have more free time. It's like, what?
Yeah,
I got bad news for you. We're not going to continue doing this remote learning. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that it's good to see that the vaccinations are happening. So yeah, it's again, I'm looking forward to the summer, better weather. You know, we're getting now some new changes as far as we can have now, I think, outside gatherings, which wasn't a thing here for a long time. So now not huge ones, but I think up to groups of 10. So, you know, get outside with some friends that just aren't your immediate family. So I think that'll be a nice change for people, especially as the weather's getting nicer. Let's get outside and let's you know, be with some friends that we haven't seen for a little while. You know, in a safe way. So I'm very optimistic about, you know, sports and activities and things that hopefully we're going to be able to do over the spring and summer months. So that's
good. Get outside and take some photos, man.
Yeah, and that too. Get some photos. So looking up.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. All good. Very positive. Like I said, this is the positivity show. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge for March, we'll call it. That's the name of that's the month, right?
Sure.
Like I said, time doesn't mean anything to me. The monthly challenge is offbeat. I hope that's what I remember from last.
Totally week. Forgot. I no clue. So offbeat. Yeah.
Well, good. It's offbeat now. Right. Something that you don't normally take pictures of, or maybe some interpretation that isn't normal for you, and do that. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers, and we will check that out. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Nope, nada. This was no photos. I'm very, very busy with work and starting up with baseball stuff, and just lots of stuff going on. So no photos. Short answer, no photos.
I had to force myself. I didn't really shoot anything tremendously interesting either. We went for a family walk last week or whatever it was this week, and one day, and the weather was not cooperating. It looked nice. It was okay, but it was kind of cold. But went out, so I just kind of brought my camera because I was like, you know what? I got to shoot something. And the photo not great. I mean, I like it, but it's not I didn't break any new ground here. But I do like, I'm constantly thrilled with both the colors and the sharpness of the Fuji. So that's why I displayed this, because I was like, ah, there you go.
Mm-hmm, looks like, good.
Did very little to it. It wasn't like I you know, like that. That's the level of sharpness you get from that lens. I love it. The end. And there's the Steinlock. You can see the Steinlock there. That's the little river.
Right.
Adam. Yeah. It goes down there at the end. It feeds into the Neckar at the far end down there.
Yeah. No, it looks nice. And I agree with you. I mean, those photos that I took of Steveston and the walk around and the colors and all of that from the sunset were Fuji photos. And just, again, really not much, but straight out of camera with a little bit of, you know, playing with contrast and saturation a tiny bit, but it looks so good at a camera. That's the beauty of it. It just, you don't have to do much.
Indeed. Go buy one. They got to be coming down in price too. Like,
well, again, I think if it all depends on what's your budget and what are you looking for. If it's just a fun little walk around kind of secondary camera that you just want portability and you want to be able to, you know, take some good photos, pick up the old one. Like when I bought mine, which was what, 2 years ago now, I think it's at least 2 years ago. I only spent $300 back then on a
is
used
that true?
One. Yeah, it was $300. Oh. It came with an extra battery and it was basically untouched. The guy had, you know, because it has the shutter count in it. I think it was like, it had something like, I don't know, 1,000 clicks on it. Like it was such a good deal. And the thing has been amazing. One of the batteries is starting to go now. Ooh, that's the only thing.
A second. Hey, that reminds me. Okay, you finish up. That reminds me of something.
Yeah, so if you're in the market for it and you can't, you know, stand the $1,700 price tag of a new one, whatever they're on, the F or the G or I don't know, what are they up to? What's the current Fuji? V. Okay, so just look at one of the previous generations. I have the S and I couldn't be happier with this thing. So I know they've made improvements, but I'm guessing that was 2 years ago that probably $300, $250, something like that in an older version. Well worth the money. Go for it.
I'll tell you what, like so much so that had I been there, because they're hard to find used here. It's just not a thing, and which is kind of nice for you guys. But had I been in Vancouver at the time and that popped up, even though I had one, I probably would have spent $300 for a second one, no question.
Just like that, just to have like a beater version.
It would be my beater version. I would take that absolutely everywhere. You know, it'd go to the beach. It would go absolutely everywhere with me. That's the one thing. Like I'm a little bit like I'm not quite the same as I am with my the 40D, which at this point is worth zero. So that's the one that goes absolutely everywhere. I don't care where I take it, but it's still big. And the results I would get from the S. Oh, absolutely. I'm gonna look after the show here and see if there's anything around. I doubt it. It's not a used Fuji area that I live in.
Yeah, I'll give an update to you. I'll look at the Vancouver Craigslist and see if they're out there and what the going rate is now. But like I say, 2 years ago, $300. That's what I paid.
Like if I was not a professional photographer and needed to take like, you know, shots of at longer focal lengths. If I was just a hobbyist, I would probably only own this. I'd be comfortable only owning this camera. I love it that much. There you go.
Okay.
Fuji, you should sponsor us, I think.
Sure.
Send me an old beater. I don't care. I'm good with it.
Yeah. Send me one of those old-timey bags of money.
Well, I do. There's a couple of Fuji cameras I kind of want to get now, like the full frame one and all that. But that's for a different time.
Okay.
Anyway, love the colors. Boom. Photo challenge this week is Manic Monday. And I said that strictly to motivate you and myself, mostly me, to get my to not wait to the last minute to shoot the photo challenge. Because the last 57 weeks in a row, I waited till like seconds before we started to shoot and or to record to shoot that photo. So I wanted to get out in front and force you to do it too. Did you shoot it on Monday?
I did.
I can check the exif data.
Go for it. Yeah. It was taken on Monday.
This is earlier today. It says March 13th in the morning.
Let's say seven, March 8th. Yeah.
You did it. All right. So you got a beauty dish. What's that? What is that new?
No, I've always had that. It's big, right? It's the big one for the alien bee.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So the big, like the full size beauty dish, whatever the big, it's big, which is why I don't use it a lot because the only thing it's kind of configured for is the alien bee. So the big studio light. So often when I shoot with the big studio light, I typically tend to use the giant softbox because I don't know, I just like the soft light and this sort of like high gloss look of the beauty dish is great for young, pleasing skin, right? Like it really looks good on, you know, my daughter, but it
Jack
wouldn't
Palance looks terrible.
It wouldn't look good on everyone. And so I got it again. It was a Craigslist. Like I just wanted a different lighting modifier. And so back when I got it, I thought I would use it a lot more than I do. It comes out like, I don't know, twice a year. And, and so I was just kind of looking at my lighting, options when I decided to do this photo. Cause I didn't have any direction for the photo. Manic Monday was like, okay, I like some direction and this was zero. So I just kind of went through the, I went through the cupboard and I said, I'm going to do something with the beauty dish. As soon as I decided that I was going to go with the beauty dish, now it meant, okay, I'm going to do a portrait. And now it meant probably the only one that's going to be suited for this, who will likely participate will be my daughter. I was thinking my son wants no part of doing portraits right now. So he was out as soon as I thought portrait. And my daughter is kind of a little bit more back in the game because, you know, she's like, oh, well, you can tag me on Instagram or whatever. She likes having content. So there you go. Right. So I took her, we went in the backyard, I set up the big beauty dish, put it high up on a light stand so it was kind of tilted sort of straight down and just in front of her, and then I used the big silver reflector just beneath, just out of frame, like I kind of leaned it on two chairs that I positioned in front of her to get the bounce back up just to soften some of the shadows, and that was it. I did have a second light, which I put in behind her, but then I'm pretty sure in this photo didn't fire. So I'm not counting it. There was a light. It was just going to be to give a little bit more pop to the background, but I can't tell if it fired or not. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Right. I don't see any of the light on her. That wasn't the idea. It was just to give a little bit more separation, but I think that's all the light when it went from the beauty dish is what's lighting the background too, because of the angle. I think there was enough power there that it's lighting the background. So I don't think it would have mattered whether the back one went or not, but in this case, I'm gonna guess it didn't go. It was just out of frame, camera right, and it was just flagged off to go in behind her. So it might be kept. It's a little bit lighter on the one side of the background than it is the back left, so maybe it went, but either way,
I'm gonna say it did not go, and if it did, then you wasted your time using it.
Yeah, so either way, this was a pretty simple photo, except for you need a beauty dish and a reflector, but it was simple in a sense of, you know, light is pretty much almost straight on, just camera right, and then it was a reflector. Just camera left. You're right. No, okay. Yeah. Camera left. Because, sorry, I'm getting my lefts and rights backwards. So, yes. So
why did you go camera left? Normally, you like myself, short light everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of wanted sort of a high gloss, sort of magazine cover-like shot. And so I just kind of looked at, what is fashion magazine? Well, like, what do they do? And they do, like, it looks like this. And so I was just trying to emulate what I saw as like, here's a different look that I never really shoot. It does, like Sarah's immediate comment was like, makes my face look wider. I'm like, yeah, that's what that lighting does. Right. And I'm like, but it's not like you have a wide face. So this makes it look like a more normal, like as opposed to if I short light her with this same setup, her face is going to look very kind of thin. So I liked it, but she noticed that immediately. She's like, hey, my face looks wider this way. Right.
That is not a thing that we talked about when we were 13.
No, exactly. So I'm like, no, I like it.
And, thanks, Kardashian.
I do like just the very, I don't know, it's almost flat light, but there is some kind of contour to the light, but it's still flat. Oh, yeah. I love how it lights her hair, like just that lighting combo, basically clamshell, like just shines, her hair just really pops and shines, even though I don't have a hair light. So I like the lighting on her jacket. I really like it's flat, but not too flat. Just something every time I use it, I like it, but then I don't use it for 6 months.
Did she repost it with a filter on it though?
I hope not. I tagged her. Like, I did put this on Instagram like last night, and okay. And I tagged her. So I'm guessing it's just going to show up. I don't know. I don't know how Instagram works.
I'll check her TikTok. I follow her on TikTok.
I'm guessing. Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to show up as is. So I like the black and white version, the color version. The jacket's green. There's only a little, cause the background, the stucco wall, like of our place is white. I just kind of liked it better in black and white. I didn't find the color did anything for me. Yeah. So hence the black and white. She's got the, I told her the tough guy look. I wanted her to like, you know, really, cause I don't know, they don't smile on the fashion magazine. This, her pose was her, she did her hair. Her hair looks good in my opinion. And I just went with the sort of go tough guy look. So this is her tough guy.
Nice. TGM, tough guy mode.
That's what we call
that.
Yeah.
TGM. Just for the record, I don't, I've heard of TikTok on the news. That's the extent of it.
Okay.
I don't actually, not only do I not follow your daughter, I don't TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. I remember too, for those interested in beauty dishes, I remember at one of the, I want to say this is like 5 years ago. You went too. We did one of those photo workshops with Dwayne Gervin. Do you remember?
Yep.
And so he had a bunch of different light modifiers. And I remember him sort of home making a beauty dish out of like just a hubcap or something. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that specifically. No, that must've been a different one that you went to a couple of them. I wasn't at that one.
Okay. I do remember, I'm pretty sure it was in the scenario where we did do a photo together and there was like smoke and I'm pretty sure there was a beauty dish and he had homemade a beauty dish out of hubcap. Just thinking for listeners, like, you got an extra hubcap lying around. I would look up DIY beauty dish hubcap. I'm pretty sure if, Dwayne was able to make this, someone is showing you how to do this I'm spitballing here on the internet. So hubcaps are good size and metallic to home make a beauty dish. Yeah.
I used an old IKEA light frame, a light lampshade. I made one of those I use it never. I noticed the other day when I was cleaning out the attic a couple weeks ago now, and I was like, oh yeah, I have that to not use. I'm not even using.
But it's cool. You should pull it out because again, I think it's a very different look. I can't see using it for a ton of scenarios, but when I use it in this situation, I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I like it. And it's easy. That's the other kicker.
So for my offbeat, I'll use it for my offbeat one.
Sure.
Maybe. We'll see.
Beauty dish. I might
be lying to you.
Beauty dish.
We'll see. All right. So mine is even simpler. My daughter though, and just like yourself. I got the 85 on the 5D Classic, and while my daughter was doing her homeschooling, we had some pretty cool light coming in. And I said, hey, I'll be right back. And that was that. Just got her eye positioned right in that square of light. The end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, that's really quite simple. You keep the background out of focus. You can't see like the curtains there. And I mean, you see them there.
There's good texture too in her sweater. Like that's kind of what makes it more interesting than just a regular shot. Is like, I don't know, something about that sweater and the texture, and you know, in the lining up, like that front arm is perfectly in focus with her eye, and so then you see all that cool texture. And again, as it goes out of focus to her other arm and to her shoulder. Like again, it's cool. It looks good. If she was wearing just a more basic shirt, I'm not sure I like it as much. I do like where the light is on her face. It's good. But yeah, the sweater makes it for me.
So I, as I was saying, though, the X100, my favorite camera, but also the 5D Classic, also my favorite camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to beat the 85 mil, too. Like, I know we say that about every lens, and I like the 50, but something just about the 85 mil. And so what's interesting here is you've got your photo with a really out-of-focus background and an 85 mil, and my photo is also the 85, shot with a f7.1, and just... It's so versatile too. Like this, the wall in my background, I wanted a bit in focus. And so for the 85, and that wall's maybe 3 feet behind my subject, has to be at an F7 in order to keep some focus there. Like it just falls off and melts the background so nicely, but yet it can still do, like if you were guessing at my photo versus yours, you wouldn't say same lens. Like that's how versatile that lens is, right?
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
All right, pick one up. It won't go on your X100, though. That's the bummer.
No, it won't fit on there.
No. So there's that. All right. Topic this week. I talked to our friend of the show, friend in general, Don Komarechka, to see what's going on with him. You know him from his... Oh, I told you before, I recorded an episode of his Photo Geek Weekly a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't see it. I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. I've been cut.
You blew it. Yeah.
No, technical issues, which we encountered while we were recording. I could tell, but he said, no, it was unsalvageable. And so I'm going to record with him tomorrow, I think, and it'll be on the next week's show. But check out his show at Photo Geek Weekly. You know Don. He's the snowflake guy. Like, right. Literally, he shoots the snowflakes.
Yeah.
How else do we know him? That's it. He's just finishing up his book on macro photography, his latest venture. And so we talk a little bit about that and some other stuff. But without further ado, here is me and Don Komarechka. Don, what's up? What's going on? I gave you the intro. You know this by now. I gave you the intro on the show so as not to waste your time.
After we just spent a half an hour bantering back and forth, wasting each other's time before we started recording, right?
Well, I don't regard it as a waste of time, Don. I learned some things.
Hey, time enjoyed is not time wasted.
Indeed. Indeed.
And I unfortunately have not had too much enjoyable time in the last year. Well, I shouldn't say that. Too much, not a lot of, friendly gatherings. Not a lot of times out on the town, going out to restaurants and so on. But things have been good. Things have been... more of a home life than it has been before, spending a lot of time with my young daughter, seeing her grow up at the age of 4 with that level of curiosity is just amazing. Like last year...
Hers or yours?
Well, I mean, I'm living vicariously through her imagination.
Yeah.
And so like last year in the summertime, she found some caterpillars, really cool looking green ones. I looked them up. They were black swallowtail caterpillars. So... we brought them inside in a jar and they made little pupa and then they turned into butterflies and it was great. And she had this big learning experience from it and I got some pictures. We just went through a warm spell right now. And like yesterday it was 15 degrees Celsius outside. So we open up the back patio door and first step, she steps outside, she sees a caterpillar, picks it up. It's now her pet.
What's the name?
I don't think that there's a name yet. Fuzzy, I think, is as close as we're going to get. And and she put it in her little outdoor plastic playhouse, and that's its house now. So this is my life now.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because that's what I find. Like a lot of our show, the Two Hosters Photo Show, is based on talking about, experiences that we have, that Adam and I have. And, I went and shot this, or I was in town, and I brought my camera. And that's largely disappeared. Throughout the year, but I have found that it's been a year now, right? Like it's about almost exactly a year since the initial lockdown.
The WHO
happened.
Declared the pandemic a day ago, a year and a day ago, today. And I think Ontario went into full lockdown on March 17th. So we're nearing that anniversary time here too. And I remember specifically, we were dropping my daughter off to daycare. And we were thinking, okay, well, things are starting to go south. We're going to go out for one final meal, a classic Italian restaurant that we knew when they opened that there was nobody else in. We'd go and we'd just sit down, have a nice glass of wine, some classic pasta. They do it up nice there. And as soon as we drop off my daughter to daycare, they say, I'm sorry, were closed. Like, oh, right. Well, that ruins our last day of pseudo freedom.
That selfish kid, man. Yeah, no, I know. I remember we were skiing in just on the border of Austria. Is it Austria? Yes, Austria. And or was it Italy? No, it's Austria. I forget now. I've off
the look audience doesn't skiing. Care.
Yeah, no one's Googling it. Oh, yeah, it's on the borders, all I'm saying. It might be a couple borders. Anyways, and so while we're there with friends, and I said, you know, I was talking to them over dinner one night, and I said, you know, this is in mid-February. And I said, yeah, this is shaping up to be bad. If I was you guys, I would get home as soon as you can and go buy all the toilet paper you can carry. No, I didn't say that. I was not part of that. I was not part of that fad that they had for a month here as well. But I said, you know, it's yeah, get ready. They're going to close the schools. And oh, come on, Alan, you're full of it, man. They never close. Sure enough, March whatever it was, 14th, 13th here, they did. And it was the kind of thing was like, okay, we're going to close it on the Monday. And but your kids, and so this kids can still go on Friday. And I said, we'll just start now. Like it's I don't want to have one last day and then. You know, ultimately, when did we go back then? I forget now. It all blurs together, doesn't it?
Yeah. It feels like the last year is half a decade. Every era of the pandemic, every wave kind of belonging to its own year.
Right. But what I was getting at is that when this, you know, first kind of hit us a year ago, it was, you know, the beginning of spring. We're moving into spring. And so we'd still go outside, and there were still things to do. Like we still would take the kids on hikes and stuff like that. And in the initial days, it was like all that confusion about like, hey, what is this, you know? And like really nobody knew. So we were kind of playing it, you know, extra cautious in the first couple weeks. And then, but we'd still go outside and go hike in the woods by ourselves. And it sort of seemed it wasn't great, but you know it was doable. And then of course the summer came, and same as where you are, things slowed down considerably. Picked up in the fall.
Yeah, but also here too, you know, during that lull, I mean, it was great. We have an oasis in our backyard. It's enjoyable just to sit back there and listen to the birds. We've got a little water feature with a waterfall and little babbling brook sounds and. You know, we have that, and we are so lucky to have that. But, you know, what if you live in an apartment in Toronto and you just need an escape from that? So many people just didn't have that. And so you would see all of the public parks just jammed with people like sardines. And I'm thinking, right. You know what? Or the beaches, too. That's also not great. I mean, yes, it's outdoors, sure. But when you're shoulder to shoulder with, you know, a whole bunch of random people coughing and shouting at each other, I'm going to stay away from that.
And one of the things I thought about when like, you know, when a couple of weeks into that a year ago was, you know, for Adam and I was like, well, do people even care? Like, do people even care to listen to us now? And in fact, do they ever care? But aren't there more important things? And I thought, no, there's going to be a lot of bored people. And it's like a lot of time on their hands. And so maybe we need to double down and be a little more interesting at this time. And the irony being, we can't be more interesting. We're doing nothing as well. You know what I mean?
I mean, I learned to cook and I learned how to make some delicious sous vide meat recipes, which is just phenomenal. We made some elk medallions the other day, which was delicious. And you might want to get that, Alan.
I'm going to get it's my wife. Hello. Hey, I'm just recording an interview. How are you? Is it important? All good. You do what you want. Hey, bye. And that is why we don't bother having cell phones. Because that wasn't important. I was like, my friends used to call like when they would call on the way to my house, like, hey, should I bring beer? Yeah, like don't phone me for that.
That's not a question. And if somebody brings beer to my house, I'm gonna say, no, you brought beer.
Yeah.
We have enough. Just go put it back in your car.
Why didn't you call me? You should have called me. So I forget where I got off track there. What were we getting at? Were you talking?
I was making elk medallions the other day, and they were absolutely fantastic, and I'd never have thought that I would be cooking that kind of thing and making ravioli from scratch, which takes half a day to do. But I'm looking after my daughter for that day while she's attending virtual kindergarten. So I've got to be sort of just out of eyesight, but very close earshot to what's going right. on there. And so I can be puttering around in the kitchen and learning all of these things. And I actually enjoyed it. That was valuable time for me. I've learned a skill to cook. And I've learned also, my daughter loves little, she's got this whole set of Paw Patrol little toys. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to talk.
Big fan of Sky, I'm guessing.
Yes. And I have learned to talk in like a falsetto voice with permanence. And I could have a whole conversation talking as if I am a little Paw Patrol figurine. That is a new skill that I have also established. It's got a very limited use case, but that use case is very valuable to me personally.
If you can say Chase is on his face, you'll get a big laugh from your daughter. That's the move.
There you go.
So, but that's the point. It's like we have done these kind of things. I spent the last year, most of the last year, diving headfirst into woodwork and building cabinets and furniture and stuff, which I've loved, except that's not, we don't do a show about cooking or woodworking. There are shows out there that are much better than what I would do. And so that's what I have found it challenging, not only to just have content for the show, but in general, like my photography, my personal photography has changed a great deal in this last year because of circumstances.
Yep. And mine as well. I had Venus Optics loaned me a 50 millimeter macro lens for the Micro Four Thirds platform at some point during the pandemic. And I used it. I made about 5 or 6 really good images. And that was fun. And I did a little webinar for them. I haven't actually published those images yet because every time I was going to sit down and go and say, oh, I want to go and take I'm inspired to make a water droplet image or whatever it happens to be. A little voice inside my head says, Don, you still have to finish a book. And,
right.
You know, if people see you just kind of going off on other artistic tangents, like posting images that you've taken in the interim, people are going to say, Don, that's great, but why didn't you put that creative energy into the book that I paid you for? And so that's this constant guilt trip that was running in my mind through most of that year. And then I'd sit down and I'd try to do some concerted effort on the book, like just making sure, you know, my office door is closed, nobody can bother me. And then, you know, my phone buzzes from an Amber alert or my wife calls me with a shopping list. And like, it's all the stuff mm-hmm. that just happens in your day. My daughter drops a bouncy ball downstairs and it smacks into my door and she asks me to bring it back upstairs. And all of that within the first 10 minutes of me sitting down and trying to concentrate.
And next thing you know, you're down a YouTube, Wikipedia rabbit hole of bouncy balls. I know how it goes.
Exactly. So, you know, the progress was slow, but I can say right now, as of yesterday, I generated the interactive PDF files for the ebook version, which needs a little bit of testing. Just I've got a small pool of people that are making sure that it all flows properly, that all the links work, and that they, you know, function on different devices. And the press has all the files, and we're just finalizing press checks right now, so that ink goes on paper hopefully within a week. And that project now it feels like this. I don't want to call it a burden, but this really heavy weight on me that was stopping me from being genuinely creative in other ways has just mm-hmm. lifted. When the books arrive, I'm going to spend like a week straight just printing off mailing labels and sticking things together and sending that off. That's going to be, but that's going to be useful for me. Like I will feel vindicated that that's now out there and people have gotten what they supported for. And
interesting you say that because, you know, yeah, I feel like you're just going to be, not even if you, not just making the time to be more creative, but you're going to feel much more creative having that accomplishment done. That's how I feel about things. That's how I feel about paying my taxes, which I don't mind doing. I don't mind paying my taxes, despite what we talked about earlier. Don doesn't pay taxes, by the way.
I don't. I just paid $1,100 in property tax, which I have to pay every couple of months. Not a huge fan of that, but yeah.
Okay. He told me something different off the air, but okay. I don't think Trudeau listens to the show anymore. He's got other stuff to do, so don't worry about it. No, I don't mind. I don't mind the paying of my taxes. I don't like doing my taxes. I don't know how you feel about that. Like, there's so many. I wish to, here. Just take. It's always the same. No matter what we do, it always comes out. You owe that much. Doesn't matter. how many deductions you have. It's there it is. So the point being is like that weighs on me, especially this time of year, because we're coming up on tax time in the next 6 weeks or whatever it is. And you got to get them filed. And it's there. It's always there in the back of my mind. And I wouldn't say it ruins my creativity, but it distracts from it. So I could imagine a massive undertaking like a book, which is more fun than taxes, by the way. Pick up the book. It will lift it. And imagine yourself sitting, filling out those forms and the mailers and what all of the things you just listening to your favorite podcasts. That's exactly. A time you can do that.
Yeah, the Two Hosers photo show. I am a little bit behind on my listening because I have
You've missed nothing.
I put blinders on. You know, I haven't been listening to many podcasts. I used to, like, when I was editing images, often listen to an audiobook or podcast or some dialogue-driven TV show. And I do miss that as well because that was kind of a one-way conversation, right? Like, I feel like I'm having a conversation with somebody, even though I'm the silent party in that and everybody else is just talking. Like, you're sitting at the same table and everybody's got a beer in their hands and you're just the quiet listening party. And it's almost like a camaraderie in a sense. And I've heard that from other people that listen to my own podcast. It's like, Don, I feel like I've been in so many conversations with you. It's like, that's great. A little creepy, but I understand because I've felt that too when I listen to other hosts and such.
Yeah. I've had this exact same experience. But as far as your creative process goes, now you started the idea for this book before the pandemic, correct?
Oh, yes. That was started. I've had the idea for years, but I did the crowdfunding campaign in the middle of 2019.
Okay. So, yeah. So you got the ball rolling. You knew you had to do all this. And then all of a sudden, this massive world-changing event happens. But as I've talked about on the show before, I always kind of feel like I struggle between being inspired creatively and creativity isn't something that not most people can just sit down and spit out 20 pages on cue. Some writers can. I forget who it was who talks about it, who just gets up every morning and from like 7 till 9 writes and that's that. And he somebody good, maybe it's Stephen King who's written more books than I've ever read. So. It's him or somebody else who just sits, it just can do it. But generally I find, I can sit and look at the blank page for a while or I need to be inspired, but then you have, a 4-year-old daughter whose schedule now dictates when you get to be inspired. How do you fight through
that? And if I sit down in front of my computer and I take a look at the news, like I like to do, every morning, I just end up like doom scrolling all of the fear-mongered content. I'm like, this is not healthy either,
No.
But also, this is, I don't want to say problematic, but, some people that supported the Kickstarter campaign, and I think everybody that did, they got angry when I wasn't making regular updates because honestly, I had nothing to update. I've written another half a page. I'm not going to make a Kickstarter update for that type of development. And there was some vitriolic comments, some people that were quite disenfranchised by the whole thing. And that kind of brought me down, that would tarnish any inspiration or energetic activity that I would have towards that project for that particular day. And other people were just clamoring for an update and crying to say, well, why haven't you given me one? And the thing is, when I would make an update for the book, when something was due, I would lose 2 days of productivity because of all of the questions that people would have coming in, people changing their address, people wanting to upgrade or change something about it. And so this onslaught of emails and correspondence required that doesn't all happen at once. It's just it's a constant trickle in. So it's a constant thing to revisit through the day and through the next day and so on and so forth. The irony is that people wanted me to make an update about the progress of the book and in doing so delays the progress of completing the book.
Right.
And so it was this awful cycle for a couple of months where this was just the constant thing where, I haven't updated you in 2 months. There's a reason for that, because I don't have anything to share. Thank you.
but you buckled down though, and what caused that? What flipped the light switch on that, or was it a gradual?
It was a gradual thing. I mean, I was always constantly working whenever I could find that time. And so some days you would just wake up and you'd feel inspired and you would just shut everything else out and I'd write 2,000, 3,000 words. The finished book is 87,000 words.
In a row? And,
well, I would write 2,000 to 3,000 words in a row some days, yeah. Nice. The most that I'd written is about 4,000 to 5,000 words in a single day. But that was in the before times. But, you know, if I were to sit down and try to contemplate my thoughts, some portions of the book, I remember spending 2 days writing two paragraphs, not because it was difficult, but because I needed to fact check every word when I was talking about some really sciencey stuff. Mm-hmm. And almost have to school myself in a university physics course to then distill that back down into layman's terms that, you know, somebody non-scientific like my wife could read and kind of understand a little bit. But, you know, from that perspective, it was a long haul. And we got there. It's done. The book is done. It is almost on press and almost in my hands. But wow, I did not expect it to take that long. I do remember, and I actually found a quote, and I bought a copy of the book. It's just out of arm's reach. It's a mathematician that was writing an undergraduate math textbook. And he dedicated the book to his wife and children. And then he said, for which I'm going to paraphrase here, but because of them, the book was delayed by 2 years. or that because of them, the book would have been completed 2 years earlier or something to that effect. And man, I can relate to that now.
Sure. So. Yeah. Well, no, the funny thing too is I look at anything I've produced, photos, video, whatever it is, I look at it like, because most of what I do and most of what you do, I would say all of what you do, pretty much all of what I do as well. Okay. Everything that we do, I would classify as bespoke. Where it's okay, right. I'm going to make that, and you know, I look back on it when I'm done and think, "Wow, that took me a month. If I did it again, I could do it in 4 days."
Yeah,
you know, like yesterday, literally yesterday, I just finished. I built a couple of planter boxes, which were way better than I was expecting to just throw a couple of planter boxes together and leave them out in the weather, and when they rot in a couple of years, oh well, I'll just replace them. But that's not what happened. I ended up going full tilt boogie on it and really engineered them and made them like perfect. I made two and they are within a millimeter of the same size. And I say a millimeter because they're actually identical, but I'll give a millimeter to the listeners if they want to argue. They are exactly perfect, both of them. They're identical. And you know, I was very particular about them, so much so now that I don't even want to put them outside. I'm like, oh, come on, that's just going to ruin them.
And here I am, Alan, just using old tires.
Well, that's fine to get a book to write, but point being is that it took me, you know, about a day and a half to build these things. And I didn't have plans. I've never built them before. I've seen a planter before, and I knew in my head what it should look like, and kind of, you know, measured. Oh, okay, it should go up to my knee maybe, and then it should be this. And I look at it now and think, well, I could build that in half a day. You know, I could build 10 of them. I could build 10 of these in a full day
The water droplet images that I've made take me 4 or 5 hours just to figure out what concept I really want to execute. Because you're experimenting, you're tinkering, you're in a thoughtful process that doesn't involve the final resulting image. And then you get to it. And finally, trial and error, you finally arrive at what that destination is going to be. And if I had known where I was going to end up, that 4 or 5 hours is, I don't know, 20 minutes worth of effort. If I understand exactly what I'm trying to create and what the process is to get there, because I've done it before. And so repeating the process is really simple. The hardest part is understanding, you know, the journey of, okay, well, I haven't done this before. What are the options? How is it going to come together? And that whole cumulative learning experience, right?
Sure. And a lot, there's been times too where I've done that where I'm like, I'm going to build a photograph. I have something in mind. I have a client there or even someone, a volunteer or whomever. And I spend like an hour doing this and I get there and I know, right? Hey, it's terrible. Like, I can't use this. I will never do this again. What, like, forget it. you know? And that's part of the whole process. Under normal times, I have found in the last year, last 9 months of this anyways, it's been extra difficult to sort of be inspired and to kind of go down that path and try and try something. Even though we have time,
right?
It's a different kind of distraction that is getting there. So to all the people who are on Dawn for not getting it, give them some slack. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other day, I was in the kitchen, and my daughter was, she was playing with something. I couldn't really, when they're quiet, you know, something's up.
Right.
And so she comes back into the kitchen with a cup of very, very dark blue water. And I'm thinking, that's unusual. What have you been doing? And her hands are also similarly dark blue. She got a hold of the food coloring. Uh-huh. And there are splotches of food coloring over the entire floor, over a lot of her toys. And now I'm in crisis mode because that has to be cleaned up quickly before it stains everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, then the next 45 minutes to an hour was spent cleaning food coloring off of furniture and toys and the floor and just about everything around. And I'm sitting there laughing to myself, thinking, this is my life now.
I could be writing a book instead. So tell us the name of the book. What's the name of the book? Where can people find the book?
So Macro Photography, The Universe at Our Feet. A 384-page book regaling you on all of the techniques and technologies for macro photography, as well as some beautiful pictures along the way. And that can be found at my website at skycrystals.ca. That domain piggybacks off of my original, my first book on snowflake photography. So just built the e-commerce into there at skycrystals.ca. And there is also a limited edition version that I've got a few copies left that is actually 400 pages. It's got an extra 16-page chapter at the end as an encore performance, and that's a nice leather-bound, silver-embossed, something to covet as a special edition book. So both of those are available, and an ebook too. Skycrystals.ca is where you can take a look at that, and I don't know. By the time you're listening to this, I don't know when this is going to air, Alan, but I might have a thumbs up from the press that things are going ahead there. But it's all happening so rapidly right now, it's hard to keep track.
Will this happen by Sunday night your time?
Probably not, but maybe early in the week.
Okay, so if you listen later in the week, because this is going out Sunday night, but I look forward to it, Dawn. As always, I have your other book. I just found, I was cleaning a bunch of things up, I still have the first issue of the outdoor photography magazine that you sent me, that you were featured in.
Outdoor Photography Canada magazine, yes, which that's is what now it was. Defunct, unfortunately. They are no longer in business as many magazines are. However, I will say that over the past month, I have been published in Maclean's magazine. I have been published in Scientific American and just this past week in the New York Times. So,
wow. Big time. You're getting too big for this show now. That's what I think.
No. I mean, that was all snowflake work, but...
I'm just saying, I still have the first copy. It's right where I left it, right there in the bottom of the birdcage. There it was, your picture. Got her. Still got her. So, yeah, I have that. So, looking forward to it being shipped out to everybody. Good news for everybody. Congratulations on finishing it. And we look forward to your next book, of course, which you're going to start the next day.
Yeah, exactly. What I'll probably do for the next book, Alan, is write the majority of it before I ever try to do a crowdfunding campaign for it.
That's not bad. That's not bad. But the only problem there, now I forecast this for you, is that when you announce the crowdfunding and then have the book ready a week later, people are going to wonder, okay, he didn't give it his all.
Yeah. Last one took 2 years. This one, 2 weeks. I don't know. This is going to be a hunk of garbage.
Yeah, I don't want to pay $2 for sushi. It's going to be bad. Don't do it.
We'll find a hybrid approach between the two, maybe.
Okay. Hey, Dawn, thanks a lot for taking the time to come on the show.
Oh, my pleasure, Alan. Thank you for having me, as always.
And we're back.
Great stuff. Once again, Dawn never disappoints.
The Barry update.
Yeah.
I think it's Barry, right?
Yeah.
We've been through that.
Yeah. Remember back in the day, like... He had the welcome to Barry sign.
Yeah, that's right.
And remember the Colts like famous photo that I never got that Don like, you know, basically never sent me. Yeah, it was a big kind of deal where I was supposed to get the at least the digital. I was going to make the print and put it in my house and Don's big shining moment with the Barry Colts that I never saw. So yeah, thanks Don.
Oh, boo Earns. That's terrible. Okay, I'll have a talk with him.
Hopefully Don's going to listen to this episode because he's on it. So again, Don, where's my Barry Colts poster or whatever?
Hey, speaking of posters, man, I have a shot that I took. Let's talk about this next week.
Okay.
This has been the show. We're done. This is enough. That's enough. Yeah. It's enough fun for you people.
We were done before you got to Don.
Oh, we were done episode 12. I don't know why you're doing now. I'll talk about the poster next week. That's what we'll do.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Monthly challenge for Mark offbeat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Huh? No, it's offbeat. No. Hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. We'll check that out at the end of the month. Challenge for next week. You said it. You came out. You said, I don't know how to say it in French. Fensterlicht. Fenêtre. What is light in French?
Léger.
It's not lité. It's léger. Like something that's physically light. Like the opposite of heavy. I think it's léger.
Sure.
But there's no way that that actual light is. I don't know how to say that. Window light.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
Fensterlicht. How do you say light?
I don't know.
French.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to get it. Oh, lumière. I should have known that. Come on. Le lumière. Lumière.
Yes.
How do you say it?
Lumière.
That's, well, I just said that. Are you sure it's la lumière?
Yeah.
I want to hear, shh, quiet. I'm going to listen to it.
Lumière.
Yeah, that's exactly what Google. I said. Yeah.
That was Google. Do you want to hear that again?
Yeah.
Listen. Shh.
Lumière.
Nice.
Okay.
Google sounds like your wife. Is that your wife?
No.
Okay.
She can't speak French. Unlike myself, definitely. It's fluent. All right. So Fenêtre Lumière. That's what we're doing next week for the challenge.
Great.
Okay. Website, Adam's still going no web.
Right.
I mean, you still the Instagram, Adam Two Hosers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can do
that. I'm everywhere, worldwide.
Oh, man. Mr. Worldwide. That name was taken, unfortunately. But buy your doppelganger.
Frank Pang 2. I'm Frank Pang 2.
Yeah. All right. My stuff you can find at alanatrich.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.